All right. Questions?
I have a couple, but I can't read my own writing, but I'll just
Okay.
start with the ones that I
That's no problem. I have that problem, so.
read. All right, well, we're talking about feelings, right? And like if a person is always on a defensive or always thinks they have to respond to everything everyone does or says to them.
Yeah.
So if I say to them that every action does not require a reaction, is that proper to say?
I mean, if they'll take it. See, the hard part is when you try to, if they're asking for advice and you can give them that, sometimes that'll help. But if they're already sensitive, they're going to respond to that. What do you mean? What are you talking about? And unfortunately, I mean, we become paranoid when we become, because emotions come in so many different modes. So people respond in a defensive way. So that's the hard part. But you can, if they're open to hear, you can put that out there to them. And then if they're even more open, you can explain that to them. Sometimes it seems like they're leading more with their emotions than with the spirit.
All right. And the other thing, when you were talking about stewing, sometimes us stewing on our feelings. And then you said something about we can be overwhelmed with happiness, and that's not good. So can you go into that a little more?
Absolutely. At the moment when you have an overwhelming feeling of happiness, the reason why that can't be good, because at that moment it's good to you, but sometimes that sets a standard. It's almost like a high. Now, the feelings are great and it's great to have that feeling, but have you ever done something or gone through something and you enjoyed it so much, everything else had to measure to that, so it ruined everything else. I've seen people do it with vacations, people do it with situations, especially in our country, because we overindulge or we gratify, and then when we get to a point of gratification, everything else has to be higher than that, to the point where we become unappreciative of things. So it's great to enjoy and leave it at that. And then you can enjoy each thing within itself instead of allowing the things to be your standard or your high, if you will. And that's what I mean. So when we're overly emotional, that standard could ruin other things for us and or make us chase after that. People don't realize. I know we come down on drug addicts, but everybody's an addict. I mean, to certain things in life. There's just certain things that are illegal, of course, but then there's other things. And when we get those certain highs, if you will, we tend to want everything to measure to that. And when you don't have that thing that makes you quote unquote that happy, it could bring you down if that if you're measuring or allowing that to be the standard in your life, that feeling, then that's where it can get very dangerous.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, sis?
Oh, good. I got a couple questions.
Okay.
I was listening to someone talk, and they were saying that five states are implementing their school curriculum the five pillars of Islam that kids have to memorize and chanting to Aztec gods. So what is the responsibility of the Christian in protecting the kids? Are they to sue? Because I remember you saying something, I don't know if I'm taking it out of context, about like some of these pastors that were holding service when they shouldn't be doing, or locking, putting the chain around the, I mean, blocking the church, and that we have to know when to stand up and when not to stand up.
Right.
So where would this fall?
This would fall in one of those in which you tell your children that if they're teaching it, that's one thing. If they're having you participate in anything of it, then you tell your child, you do not do it. And then if they have a problem, they have to talk to me. And they're not allowed to participate in anything, even though schools may do it, of a religious type thing. Now, if they teach something in school, they're teaching a lot of garbage in school, and where we can mess up on that is we handpick certain things and we ignore other things, which tend to cause confusion. And that's what we can't do. Remember, school is going to do what it is because it's a product of the world. Kids are supposed to learn from their parents and guidance from their parents into the Lord. bring them up in the training of the Lord. So we have to prepare them that if, hey, if they have you doing anything other than this, you tell them, I can't do that. And please call my parents. You know what I mean? And you keep them alert in that so they understand and have that standard overall, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But, then the next level of that is, the school maybe fell in the child or, sticking the child out and persecuting the child because they don't participate and, because everybody is some kind of phobia. So what would the parents' position be then?
That's where the parents have to make it. They have to make a stance, and that's for persecution. If persecution ever got to that level, then so be it. Then you have to stand with your child on that and stand firm on that. And if it takes legal matters or whatever, if it ever got that bad. So you want to be consistent because it's not only for your child, it's a ministry. Because what tends to happen is parents will do it on this thing, but this other thing will be here, which is the same thing, they won't do it. And that's what we can't do. We got to make sure we're consistent, but to stand firm and tell the school, we don't. I mean, I grew up and I would watch when we would have any holiday things, parents for Jehovah's Witnesses come in and get their kids. And it was nothing said about it. And the kid didn't participate in anything and it was just done. And they were very, straight about that. So as Christians, we should have no problem with doing that as long as we're consistent, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? The problem is sometimes we pick and choose, sometimes it's inconsistent, sometimes it can be, the arguments can be even, if they want to use the Bible or whatever, and I haven't seen it get to that level yet. I'm sure it will, but we just got to be consistent on it. So we're standing firm on the word and we're not standing firm on what somebody told us. And we're out there fighting and being flip floppy, if that makes sense. That makes sense.
I thought that Karen wanted to say something.
Oh, no, that was her music.
Okay. So my next question is, in Heaven Part 3, when you were talking about the thief on the cross, when Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. So it came up in my mind about the scripture about a day being as 1,000 years to Christ. Mm-hmm. So does that have anything to relate back to that day, what that day might mean?
I don't think so. It's interesting. I have to look at that. I know what you're saying. A day is like 1,000 unto the Lord. And you're saying he's probably saying to the thief that in this 1,000, years, which is a day, you still see me. Okay. But
I'm saying that because we're not sure about what happened, when we went to heaven or whatever. That maybe wasn't the day doesn't mean like the day today, may mean something different.
Yeah, I can't see that in it, but let me look deeper into it. I don't want to say definitely no, but I see where you're coming from. Maybe there's something else, and maybe, because the only one I have is a punctuation, which doesn't exist. And I think it was just placed in the wrong place. But that's a point that can be looked into.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Pastor, yes. is there a difference between a prophet and a seer?
A prophet and a seer?
A seer, yes.
Uh-huh. So prophet, Christians from that get their answers or anything from God are known as prophets, all right? A seer or a future teller or a palm reader or a psychic, all those are ones that they say they could tell the future. And you have the newer ones that try to attribute it to God, but they'll make sure to call themselves psychics for God or seers for God. So seers use some sort of object or something like that. They'll use a crystal ball or necromancy, that's what they used to call Nostradamus because he used to use water, half thing filled with water and used to read. So yes, they're all evil other than prophets, other than true prophets from God. So yeah, they're very dangerous. Avoid them at all costs. I know some people even say, well, we just go to them for fun. And the Old Testament was very firm on, they used to just put them to death. New Testament, it's just, we just need to avoid it. It's a form of, all of them are a form of witchcraft other than prophecy. And that's why we take prophecy so serious. So he totally avoid them. So a seer is just another name of those false witchcraft future fortune tellers. Okay. Or future tellers.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Other questions?
So I have a question. I was listening to a pastor talk about whether whether Judas lost his salvation, or was he ever truly saved?
Gotcha. And that's a good, you want to know that answer, if he was.
Well, I was reading, reading in the scriptures and I and stuff like that. And I remember Jesus said a couple of times that in several of the gospels, I think it was, he said, some of you are clean, but not all of you are. Right. And so I don't know how that fits into that. And I was wondering, well, I know he knew.
Right.
I mean, so I was just wondering what your thoughts are, I guess.
I don't know
if there's an answer.
No, that was that point what that person made was the one. And that's a perfect one, because remember what supposedly cleansed them, not supposedly, what he said cleansed them. So what did cleanse them was the word, and they obeying the word. But then when he did make that reference to all of you are clean except for one, and then he's pointing at Judas, you're absolutely right. So we lean more towards he never truly accepted. He was one that was more of an imposter, kind of with them, but not with them. So he did kind of fit that. So that was that one is what I would lean more towards, that he never was. And then we know, of course, he was doomed, because Jesus said it would have been better for him not to even been born.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
Well, commenting on what you were just asking, I heard a pastor say that if you were a true believer, would never leave the faith. And then he used the scripture. Was it Paul when some left?
And he said, if they were with us, they would never leave us, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's what I'm saying. They use that one verse, and we can say that. So where that came from is because you had the group that came out, and they were the eternal security group, and they're just basically saying you can't lose your salvation at all. But what a big part of that group start realizing is there were people that you knew, and you could tell by their fruit in the beginning, they were Christians. And that's how we're supposed to tell one another. And then something happened later in life where they definitely were not Christians. And then they were like, so what do we say about these people? I mean, some as strong as murder, as adultery, where the Bible is very clear. And some try to wipe it out and say, well, even though they're doing this, they're really not this. And that's crazy. What they're talking based on the Bible, it's just nonsense. So that's gone. So what this group was saying, well, then they really weren't Christians, and that's the verse they use. So that verse standing on itself this is my verse I'm going to use, that if somebody backslide, they were never a Christian, so they didn't backslide because they were never a Christian. And I think it's just a safety thing that they tend to use, but it's not that by itself.
Well, he actually used a couple of different ones, but that one just stuck with me.
And there's a couple of them that I don't know if you remember when we did Eternal Security and I showed you the verses that they use. There's like 7 or 8 of them by themselves sound like they are saying once saved, always saved. But then when you attach them to the other ones, it just doesn't fly.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So if you have the other ones you want to go over, we can show you, and then I can show you the other ones that go along with it. But what tends to happen on those is they just take those, like I'm sure the other one they use is this, the thing that he's begun in you, he will not end until completion. That's one of them they use. I can't pluck you from the Father's hand is another one they use. But there's other ones that kind of explain those. And once again, the Bible complements itself. So it's not a contradiction. It kind of understands, here's this group I'm talking about here. Absolutely. But then it says, but here's this also. And then we show the other ones where it actually talks about backsliding in itself. We see that in 2 Peter 3, I think, way down to verse 22. We see it in We see it in, I have a couple of them, I just don't know them off the top of my head, but that's where we have to go through that. So I probably have to do that study again. But so you see that where it comes together and it leans a lot more towards a person can backslide and you can't lose your salvation, you can decline it.
Okay. I have another question.
Okay.
I know it's not a different parts of the Bible, but once in Deuteronomy, where God's telling the men not to marry women out of like Canaanites, whatever, not to marry
yep.
out of their child. So is it always that the, because they were changed, they would go to other gods if they would marry these other women?
That's the biggest reason, yeah.
So the woman was created to be a helper.
Yep.
But it also shows, like in the Proverbs, that women have a, you know, a lot of power.
Yep.
So, but does it just come down to the man is not being the head? It's not that she's more powerful than him. It's just that he's not being what he's supposed to be.
But a man is the stronger of the two, based on what it says in James. But the woman mm-hmm. is very strong, and that is the case. But from when the man or the woman not being what they're supposed to be is very dangerous. And when the man is not being strong in the Lord and the woman's not being strong in the Lord, then both are a danger to each other, if that makes sense. And this is why, I'm sorry.
So that's saying that at those particular times that God knows that they're not being strong because for him to say they will turn.
Oh yeah, in the Old Testament, remember they weren't, the reason why in the New Testament, a lot of those standards, because remember the Israelites are a physical way to talk about the believers now. Okay, so just like the Israelites had to stay within the Israelites, believers must stay within believers in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You get where I'm coming from. And the reason being is because the two become one flesh and how that whole entire aspect. So it wasn't, that, even though it played a big part that they would follow other gods, it's just the fact of, no, you're an Israelite and you have practices that's your lifestyle. You're going to get with them. They're going to have practices which are their lifestyle and you're going to mix the two and they're unclean. So it wasn't just the marriage, it was just the whole relationship. And everybody else was counted as unclean and the Israelites were counted as God's people. Now, believers now are counted as God's people and everybody else is unclean, not in the way that we're allowed to call them unclean, but in the sense that we understand is why we have to minister to them to bring them into God's people, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other questions?